Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. This morning, I would like to share with you how to navigate a storm. But before I do, let us just close our eyes in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity we have to just humble ourselves before you and to hear from you. And so, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us through your word. Lord, that you will come and empower, impart your life, your truth to us. That you may grant us not just to understand, but to put it into practice, to apply it, Lord, so that we may eat of the fruit of its purpose in our lives. And that is to produce life. And so we thank you for this. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us in this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Life is full of setbacks, unexpected changes, disappointments, failures, trials and tribulations, storms that we face, some emotional, others physical and spiritual. And just like in nature, storms are part of life, so too are the challenges that we face. But what is so encouraging is that the Word of God is full of examples of ordinary men and women that faced extraordinary challenges, storms in their lives, and overcame them. They overcame them with God's help, guidance, and power. And so I would like to share with us this morning how to navigate the storms that we face in our lives. You know, one thing that I have discovered is that God's desire for His children is to overcome. We are trained to become overcomers. And if you read the book, the Bible, to the end, you will find that even the devil and everything that evil can muster in the end will be overcome by the children of God. And so we read in Revelations 12 verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. We are called to be overcomers. And so we are called not just to face our storms, to survive our storms, but to overcome our storms. You know, it's interesting how God speaks to the churches, the seven churches, in Revelation, and every time there are a challenge that they face, and then he encourages them to overcome. But those who overcome. And so with that of overcoming comes great reward. And I want to encourage you, if you have time, just to go read again those great encouragement that God gives the churches in Revelation, and especially those who overcome. But what has become clear for me is that God has destined us to be overcomers. We are trained to overcome. So I want to share my personal top five principles that I have discovered that help me overcome the storms that I have faced in life, and that the things that I use to prepare myself for the greater, bigger storms that I'm still going to face. And so I only have 20 minutes, so I want to try and share as much as I can. There are so many more than these five principles, but please bear with me as I share with you my top five, and I trust it will also help you to overcome the storms that you face in your life. The first principle that I have learned is that you are not alone. I think if there's only one thing to remember out of this sermon, when you face a storm, the most important thing to remember that you are not alone, that God is with you. In Isaiah 41 verse 10, we read something powerful. God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Such a powerful word of encouragement. Not only is God saying that I am with you, that I will help you and strengthen you, He says, "I will uphold you." Such a powerful image of facing a storm and not being swept away, because God is helping, strengthening, and is literally upholding us. Therefore, we read in Joshua 1 verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord of God is with you wherever you go." It gives me great confidence that I am not alone in the storm that I face, because God is with me. And you know what is so powerful? Nothing is impossible for God. God is training His children to be overcomers, and therefore He commands us to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid, but to face our storms and know that with Him we can overcome anything. Jesus at his ascension gave the final instruction in Matthew 28. And he said it so powerfully that all authority in heaven and earth had been given to him. Therefore, we should go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that is commanded. And then so powerfully, behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. If there is only one point to remember, know this: God is with you always, and nothing is impossible for him. The second principle that I have learned is that you must be prepared, spiritually and physically. If you are prepared, you will act and not react. It is so interesting to see that the Bible encourages us, instructs us to be prepared. And we see how God, from the beginning, prepares his people to face the storms of this life. Starting off with Noah, when there was a great storm coming, a great flood that was to destroy the whole earth, God warned Noah, telling him to prepare for the storm, to build a big boat. And so Noah prepared and therefore was saved from the storm because he was prepared. And so to Joseph, there was a great famine coming on the earth, and God prepared Joseph, strategically positioned him in the Pharaoh's palace, giving an interpretation and warning of this great famine to come. And so God positioned him to prepare not just Egypt, but the whole nations around him. And so Israel, his father Jacob, was saved with his family because Joseph was prepared for this great famine. Also, interestingly, Jesus, just before he was betrayed, said to his disciples in Luke 22, verse 35, and he said to them, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" And they answered, "Nothing." And then he said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And the one who has no sword, sell his cloak and buy one." What Jesus was saying is, be prepared. If you're prepared in the natural, it helps you to overcome the storms that you face. When we are prepared, we do not react, but we act. And so instead of reacting and making mistakes, we act in faith, being prepared, and that helps us to overcome the storms that we face. But the New Testament, one of the central themes in the New Testament, is not just to be prepared physically, but to be prepared spiritually. We need to prepare for the coming of Christ. We know the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. The 5 wise were the ones that were prepared. The foolish ones were unprepared. And so Jesus warns us to prepare for his return, that it will be unexpected, like a thief in the night, but that we should be ready. Jesus also speaks about being prepared for the storms that we face in this life. As a matter of fact, he warns us that we're going to face extra storms because we follow him. In rugby, I have learned that the tackles that hurts the most are the ones that were unexpected, the ones that we didn't see coming. So Jesus gives us a heads up to prepare ourselves for the storms that we're going to face. He tells the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. Both, after building their homes, faced the same storms. They faced the same rain, floods, and strong winds, but only one house was secure. The other was destroyed completely because it wasn't prepared. It wasn't prepared enough. And so Jesus explains this parable. It says that the one that built their foundation on the rock survived, but the one that foundation was not prepared and simply on the sand did not survive. And foundation speaks about preparation. You can ask any builder, before you start a house, it's so important that the foundation should be solid. And so how do we prepare? Well, Jesus explains here in Matthew 7 in this parable. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts it into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew against and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The way we prepare is to not just know the words of God, but to apply them, to put them into practice. When we apply the teaching of God, when we put it into practice in our lives, we prepare for the storms that we will face in this life. You see, if you follow the teaching in the Word and you put it into practice, you will be ready and you will be able to overcome the storms. And that's bringing me to the third point. And that is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's very interesting. Jesus said that we should not worry about life, but that we must seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That our Father in heaven knows what we need, and that He will grant us everything if we first seek His kingdom and His righteousness. It is the way I navigate in the storm, not looking in the natural what I need, but seeking His kingdom, His ways, and His will first in my life. It becomes a guide through my storm. If I know His kingdom and I know His will, I know which direction I need to take. It reminds me of when I was in the army and we were taught to navigate. They gave us a map and a compass, and then they taught us how to use these things to find our way. You know what? In our lives, we have God's map, the Bible, and we have been given the Holy Spirit as the compass that leads us in the way we should go. I saw this video clip of a Navy pilot trying to land on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean in pitch darkness. It must be one of the most scariest things when you're flying on the ocean in the middle of darkness with no mountains to navigate or orientate yourselves, and you only have a map, a waypoint. And then if you look at this video, you will see in the middle of the screen, you will find some beacons appearing. It's little lights that light up the way where this pilot can find his safe landing. It's the waypoints that he follows. These beacons of light leads him to the safety of the aircraft carrier. Now, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness are like those beacons, those waypoints in my life. When I'm in a storm, that is what I seek first. I want to know God's way. I want to know God's will, because I know they will lead me to a safe landing. And so too, in our own lives, we can follow God and His ways and know that it will lead us to safety. When you are in a storm, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and they will be your landing lights, your safe place where you know this is the way that I need to follow. In the midst of the uncertainty of darkness, I know if I can find the waypoints, the ways and the will and the will of God, I will find my safety. Stay in His will and you will always be safe. This brings me to the fourth point of navigating a storm, is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus was once walking on water. We know the story, in the middle of the night. And there was a storm and wind and waves, and they were all afraid, and they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, it is I." And then Peter said, "But if it's you, Lord, command me to come to you." And then Jesus instructed Peter to get out of the boat and to walk to Him. And Peter, with great faith, got out of the boat, keeping his eyes on Jesus, and walked all the way to where he was. But then, all of a sudden, he started to look at his circumstances. He started to look at the storm, the winds and the waves, and he started to sink. You know, we are always tempted to look at our circumstances. Even when we start with great faith, we look at our circumstances to see if we cannot find some hope in the circumstances changing. But our only real hope is in Jesus. He is the only true and lasting hope. And if we keep our eyes on Him until the end, we will make it through the storm. That's why Jesus speaks to Peter in the end. He says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And so challenging, because Peter had great faith to start off with, but his faith leaked away when he looked at his circumstances, because he started to fear. His eyes were no longer on Jesus. So one of the things that carries me through a storm is to always keep my eyes on Jesus. That brings me to what Jesus said in Matthew 17, verse 20, concerning faith and what makes faith great. So Jesus answered them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." You see, what is so challenging about what Jesus is saying, he says, what makes faith great is not the size of it, but the endurance of it. Peter, you started so great, but your faith failed. If it only continued to the end, nothing will be impossible for you. It says that if our faith is only the size of a mustard seed, in other words, our faith doesn't need to be equal to the challenge we face. It doesn't need to be equal to the storm that we face. It simply needs to endure the duration of it, and we will be able to face and overcome anything. That brings me to my fifth point, how to navigate a storm, and that is to pray. One of the most powerful things we can do in the midst of a storm is to pray. And Jesus teaches often how we should pray, but here in Luke 18, he gives some insight that we should pray and continue to pray. From verse 1, he says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, 'There was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard men. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And then he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjudged judge said. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears with them long? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?'" What I've learned about prayer in the midst of the storm is that I come to God and I ask him to help me, to lead me, to guide me, and I continue to do it during the duration of the storm until I see the breakthrough, until I see the storm being stilled, the landing lights my safe place, or God gives me the power to overcome the storm. And so God encourages us that in the midst of our trials and our tribulations, that we turn to him, that we ask him and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, search and keep on searching, because then there will be an answer. Then the door will be opened and then we will find. So in the midst of the storm, we pray and we ask God, we thank him for his presence and his promise, and we continue to speak to him until we overcome. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 gives me great encouragement. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But when the temptation comes, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." This gives me great confidence. God is saying, no matter what you face in this life, no matter what storm comes your way, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the storm, I will also give you a way of escape. So I know I can make it through any storm. I just need to find this way of escape. I need to find the landing lights. So I take up my map, I pray, I follow the compass, and I keep my eyes on Jesus. And I ask God, every storm that I face, that he will help me, that he will train me to become an overcomer of the storm that I face, that I may become mature and complete. Then we read in James chapter 1 from verse 2, "I consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I have discovered that God does not just want me to survive my storms. He wants me to overcome. And he has given me everything that I need for life and godliness so that with him I can overcome storms. To the point where when I face these things, I will count it as pure joy, knowing that he is training me for what I am meant to do in life that's still ahead of me. And so I'm not just using the small storms, but I'm using it to prepare me for the big ones. And when they come, I am not afraid because of what I've already learned through Him. And so God wants us all to become overcomers so that we can all say, as Paul says in Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when we come at this place of great confidence in who He is, that we are not alone, that He's with us, that He's empowered us, and He wants us to overcome, we hear these words often, as I do when I face these storms. In Isaiah 40 verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so I want to encourage you. If you face a storm today, or maybe you're going to face it tomorrow, I want to encourage you, there are no storm that you cannot face with Jesus and overcome. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will be with you to encourage you, but to strengthen, to help, and to uphold you. What a powerful image. So I want to pray for you especially today. If you are going through a storm, I just want to pray with you especially that this will become a reality, that you will not just survive your storm, but that you will overcome your storm, and that you will be equipped and ready for the next one, that you will come to the point where you will even face it with great joy, knowing that God is busy working in and through you, so that you too will become a great overcomer with Him. Let us just pray. Father, I thank You for Your word, Lord. I thank You for Your encouragement. But I thank You also, God, that You've not just come to give us words of encouragement. You've come to come alongside us, to empower us, that every word of Yours will be true, be fulfilled in and through us, that we will not be afraid, but take great courage and overcome every challenge that You have for us. And God, I want to pray for those who are in a storm right now, Lord, that Your word and Your presence, Lord, will be a guide and will be a comfort. But most of all, that they will overcome in Jesus' name so that You may receive all the glory. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.